which I talk about quite a bit, which was what we do in the course of Changing Mind, bring people into the north, the place of the adult, the place of responsibility, the ability to respond. Now, it's the best place to learn it because there's not much to respond to. You're not being bombarded. We'll get into the East soon, and the East is a bit of a pressure cooker. So you want to be well-versed in the art of responsibility before you venture into the East, which, of course, is the direction of greatest spiritual potency. So here we are in the North, and building our ability to respond. So in this morning, as the light began to come, I would understand that the grandfathers would be coming soon, and the grandfathers would feed me and keep my spirits up. And in that moment, a message came in, and it said, "Great peace becomest you." Now, becomest is a kind of odd word, but that's how I heard it. And just these four words, just sat with them for a little while. "Great peace becomest you," were the words from the great giant. And I was then shown the designs I would paint upon the skulls that we put on our altar, on the tree of life that we have in front of our sweat lodge. I have a bear skull and a deer skull and an eagle skull. And so they are placed on the altar, we say for protection, but we'll talk a little bit about protection again another time. That's not about necessarily protecting ourselves, but protecting that which would best function in a protective space, which is kind of like the North. Like I said, it's like a quiet, clear place, and then that is protection. Protection is like solitude. It's a place of isolation where you can best function and best do your work. So I'll talk about it now, about protection. It means when we invoke our prayers when we're doing the medicine work with the plants, I used to say, to the arcans, as we call them, bring us protection from la envidia, la pusengueria, la huetesería. Daño. So we would say, bring us protection from envy and poor relations and the curse of bad business and the curse, poor relations is a curse too. Another thing we'll talk about later, where that comes from. Protect us from soul loss, protect us from bad energies. But it's been reversed now. We call protection for those things. Please, Cosmic Mother, all that is, Creator, we ask you to send protection to envy and to the, we call them bad energies, because they need some love. They need time to work things out. And that gives us all so much more space. If we're calling in protection, little protection bubbles for ourselves, we are isolated. And there's not much freedom in that. So each of us maintains our vastness, and we call for protection to that which may be harmful. And in this way, we have more access to these words, "Great peace becomest you." So here we are again in the vastness of the Great North, spaciousness. But it's quiet and calm, like the snow-covered tundra. And so this vision came of very simple drawings to paint upon the skulls. And these very simple drawings with the four colors of the directions in certain patterns would transmit these teachings. each one through the particular animal's medicine would be carried, which animal would carry it the best. And so when I finished my fast, I went ahead and did that. So a vision is something, it's called shadowing creator, in a sense. So there's like a projection created, and it has to be shadowed upon the earth. So that means enacted, done. When Black Elk had his vision, it was like a kind of like a parade. It was like, or maybe like what a powwow is now. It was a like an event that it took him many, many years to step into and actually manifest, as we might say, upon this earth. But it had to be done, and it didn't look like much. Like, it did. It was like sort of it was a big parade of different colored horses in a certain order and painted in a certain way, and the people were painted in a certain way. But it was really a transmission. So nothing really happened, evidently, on that day. But like the paintings on the skulls, and you've probably seen many skulls on altars, buffalo skulls and such, and they're painted. Well, those colors and patterns carry a vision and a transmission very subtly and quietly. So again, this came through in the north. The place of the adult. And this probably would have been like the northeast, because now we're starting just to step in towards that elderhood. A true elder shares wisdom, not necessarily by speaking about it, but by being it, just by... Just by being what it is. A crow is a crow. And a robin is a robin. And a tree is a tree. So, an adult is an adult. An elder is an elder. A child is a child. And an adolescent is an adolescent. So as the day went on, I began praying. I'm looking at my notes here. I began praying for a vision. And at some point, I had an egg shaker, and I went to reach for it, and sort of like, because you're sitting down in the lodge, and I kind of half got up and reached over and picked up this egg shaker. It was a carved gourd from Peru. And when I went to sit down to brace my, you know, sitting back, I actually put that same hand under my butt and I ended up sitting on the egg and cracking it. And sometime later, still sitting in the north, it was dark already, or I was in the dark because I closed the door. I only opened the door for a little while, and some new grandfathers had come in, and I'd had a blanket with me, like kind of my favorite cozy blanket, and as the grandfathers were coming in, it was dark out too because the door was open, the grandfathers were coming in, and at some point I was like smelling something burning, you know, and I thought, well, maybe there's just a little bit of something in the pit. Sometimes that happens, you know, a little mushroom grows in the pit or a piece of cedar or something. And after a little while I thought, no, that's a lot of smoke. And so I checked more closely, and it was my blanket on the grandfather's burning. And I had actually thought it was a wool blanket, but by the smell of it wasn't. So things got a little foggy in there just for a bit. And just things that happened. I didn't have any big, profound idea about the egg breaking, although that was, it was kind of fun, you know. I mean, cracking the shell open in the north and letting go of beloved things. letting go of my favorite things, and that egg shaker too was special to me. So that all happened in the north, a letting go and being able to move on. You know, it's said that spending just a few hours a day with the lodge, one can easily observe the sacredness of all things. And spending 4 nights and 5 days in the lodge, one can also see where one cuts corners, where one doubts the whole thing and doesn't really care. And what I learned here is that this is the true self showing up. What we might call the sleeping giant. Again, the place, the north is the place of the great giant. The sleeping giant is a shadow. We'll call it in the same way I talked about a vision being the shadow of Creator. And that's not the shadow like a bad thing. It's just a shadow. A shadow is a shadow. A crow is a crow. See? So, the sleeping giant is the true self showing up. And the true self is different from who we are. The true self is the one that doubts, is the one that acknowledges their limitations. Everybody's talking about being in service, how I can be in service to you or my community or my family. Well, the way that we are in service is to expose our true selves. There's a kind of service, like if you're feeding the people at Vipassana, maybe, you know, or you're feeding people in East Vancouver in a shelter, where you're showing up and you're, you know, feeling quite responsible probably, and that you're doing a good thing and helping others, and that's fine, but that is not the true meaning of being in service. So even at serving the food at Vipassana, stuff's going to come up for you. You see, when you're in true service, you're going to be vulnerable. You're in your vulnerability. That is what it means to be in service. Like a machine, you'll see a sign on it sometimes saying, out of service. And that's often when we're feeling, I spoke before about being righteous and really strong, and that's all fine. And there's a time for it. It's, you know, the winds of the north, they're strong winds. And there is vulnerability. And in peace, all things are balanced. So I know myself, I spend a lot of time being strong woman. A lot of time being strong woman. And it is only when I, in this place of the north, stepped into my true self, the one who says, you know, what am I doing here? What the heck is this vision fast? I could just get out of here right now. I don't need this. This is a bunch of BS. Yeah, that's the true self coming out, the vulnerability. So, allowing ourselves to be the true self, let it show up in its many different forms. There's a song called the Strong Woman Song that in the last month or so, well, you know, since my vision fast, so I'm making these recordings a little bit afterwards, just giving them all time to settle in. I have not been able to sing the Strong Woman Song. It just gets muddled every time. And so I'm listening to that, and I just put down some tobacco yesterday to Creator. I say, please, please teach me this strong woman song. What is it really to be a strong woman? I don't think it's what I thought it was. And I was also sitting in another lodge this past weekend supporting other people in their vision fast for their Sundance. And we sweat for 4 days in a row. And I also couldn't sing the song in that lodge. I blew it. But the strong, so the strong woman, oh yes, I'm sorry, I lost my thought for a moment there. The leader of it was saying, he was using his hands and he was talking specifically to the men in the lodge, and his right hand was up higher than his left hand, and he said, this is where women belong, up here, and men, they're down here. He said, pointing to his left hand, that is the natural order and the natural balance. When men and women try to be equal, there is imbalance. And he went on to say how women have been so repressed and put down and taken from their power, or their power taken from them, depending on how you would like to look at it. I think say more like taken from their power. And again, power is a delicate word, actually. Power is a vulnerable word itself. It is a vulnerable word. And so we, as women now, have been given permission, which is kind of funny, but to have sweat lodges and to dance in the sun dance and to do the rites that normally were only done by the men. And the reason for this is because we require these rites now to bring ourselves back into right place. We undertake these vision fasts and vision quests and the sun dance, the obleka, the rites, the seven rites given to us by White Buffalo Woman to bring us back into our right place. And when he says women are up here and men down there, it's not a power over. The geese from the north are blessing us. Watching them fly in their patterns. There was one group that came from one direction, one from the behind me and one from the left. There's a group came from the right, one right over my head and one from the left of these geese. And that reminds me of how we smoke the chanupa. We take one puff and we don't inhale, but we blow the smoke, exhale, I'll say, to the left, and we're blessing all of creation on the left. And then we take another puff and we blow that one to the right, and we're blessing all of creation on the right. The next smoke we blow right down the stem to acknowledge our own path and the path of others, the straightness of our paths, to keep us straight, that stem of the chanupa. And the next puff we blow in front of us and use our hand to smudge our heads, clear our minds, our senses, keep them clear. And the last puff down to the heart and sweep that all the way down to the earth. So the true self is different from who we are. Who we are is our grandmother's prayers. We are our grandfather's dreaming. We are the breath of our ancestors, and we are the spirit of love. When you know who you are, it is much easier for the true self to play peekaboo. Let the true self show itself. Let it come through. Let that vulnerability, that sadness in your eyes, the pain in your face, the caution that you carry, let it be seen. That is responsibility. That is the greatest teaching of the North. The true self can be irritable, careless, defensive. Really, it has to be right. You know, the true self wants to know. They don't want to be surprised. So when you see this in your beloveds, in your family, in your friends, your community, you can acknowledge it as that vulnerability and step into the north with that person, that quiet clearness. Also, we could call it gentleness, so that we don't frighten it. We don't frighten it and send it back down its hole. So sometimes you can access your true self by, as they say, going down the rabbit hole. But that can be terrifying. Although exposing your vulnerability can also be terrifying. So it's all kind of all the same thing. But the world is becoming a safe place, which gives the ego a break. So the ego is your main obstacle in being your true self, only because it is programmed to protect you. It hasn't got the memo about sending protection off to that which really requires protection. So, again, in sitting in the north, you have the protection of the snow, the blanket, the white blanket. I was told some years ago by a man called, funny, no, it's not Starhawk, that's somebody else. It's in my, it's in the video on the front of the Changing Mind website. But it was an Umatilla elder that I met on the Columbia River on my way to Burning Man. I was traveling alone, and I was camping out on the river, and there was this man. He was basically homeless, you know. He was so free, he was homeless, and he was an Umatilla elder, as I say. And we ended up chatting, and he taught me a salmon song by the river. And he said, it was a full moon, and we were looking at the moon, and he said, "You are full moon woman. You carry the white blanket for the people." And I really had no idea what he was talking about. It all sounded real nice, you know. Kind of like being blessed by giving your name, your native name by Indian elder, all that. But I was present. I was really present to it and just let it sink in. And I asked him at the same time the name of the river. I knew it wasn't the Columbia. And he said, "This river has many names in many languages, and they all mean she gives us." So I'm going to leave this recording now with these teachings about the true self and who we are, and responsibility, and how women have been altered. That's an interesting word in itself, altered. And it is time for women to rise up, indeed. But it has to be done very delicately, not from a place of greed. And we will be getting into the difference between our climate change. Basically, the climate is changing from greed to love, and it will be like breathing water. We're used to breathing air. We're going to be adapting to a new way of being that might be, you know, compared to somebody learning how to breathe water, or maybe a fish out of water, something like that. But that's the idea of climate change. And just want to say about who we are, you know, we are the grandmother's prayers and our grandfather's dreaming and the breath of our ancestors and the spirit of love. It's not something one can easily paint a picture of, yet it is as close to reality, to the reality of eternity, as one can get. But it's definitely not something, who you are is not something that can be put in a box. It's too vast, it's too grand, and too good. I'm gonna actually keep going on this one to finish off the north. With this last, these last pieces. As we are who we are and have a true self, so does the planet. She is both mother and earth. Mother gives us life. Earth is a blanketing entity that keeps us warm. The moon, who understands suffering, gave women the gift of cleansing, especially those who live far from the ocean. For the ocean would help women cleanse themselves, but if you didn't live near the ocean, this other plan was hatched. Women could call upon this gift of the moon as needed in its origination. Maybe around 3,000 years ago, maybe more. At that time, when the gift of the moon came, it was during a time when Earth, not the mother, but Earth, desired to experience greed. Pachamama herself wished to experience greed. And this greed spread like the plague, like locusts upon cornfields. Creator saw parts of the earth being consumed by greed and sent men and women of light to keep the balance. But greed was too strong. Some of the peoples even began using greed upon soul navigation, thinking that if there were more of them, they would better succeed at domination. And so the gift from the moon was taken by greed, forcing women to be fertile each month. Thankfully, the essence of the gift, to help women bear pain, and that is the pain of their sisters in childbirth or the pain of their families, the gift helped all mankind through the progression of greed. And like a cancer, though, greed began to feed upon the earth and her children, eager to please every wish of the Mother Earth, whose identities were indeed hard to distinguish at times. And having the great ability to evolve, perpetuated greed loyally, without thought of consequence, for they understood the nature of sacrifice. So what this is saying here is that when we confuse the mother and the earth as one thing, it is like confusing your true self with who you are. They are two distinct parts of Pachamama. The mother is incapable of bias, is incapable of calling anything good or bad. Everything is the same to the mother. We are all her children. The earth is more like the true self. It has its own character, and it has its own limitations. And we are seeing those, you know, when you continue to bash something and continue to hit on it, it does break down, and it shows itself. It needn't be that way. It needn't be so violent or aggressive that brings the true self forth in anything, be it a person or the person that Earth is, the entity that Earth is, or the being that Earth is. So when we learn to be gentle with each other, and it will just naturally progress that we are gentle with the earth, and we can forgive the earth for its desire to experience greed. It's just what happened. It's just what happened. And the mother, again, you know, without thought for the consequence, the mother understands the nature of sacrifice, which is exchanging one thing for another. So we could say exchanging ignorance for consciousness. Will come of this. Will come of the earth's desire to experience greed. And what is now happening is all things change their minds. The earth has changed its mind. And it's done with greed. It has experienced greed to its full tilt. And now the earth wishes most deeply to experience love. And so the mother will respond. The mother is responding to the request of one of her children, which is the earth. The earth is also her child. Everything comes from the mother, and to it we shall return. So the mother has now changed the climate. The air we breathe, the water we drink, is now love. No longer is it imbued with greed. As we're still sitting here in the north, another thing that is said about the North is it is the home of the Great Winged One, which is also known as the Spirit of Time, which is now coming closer and closer to the ground. And there is Raven right there as I was about to speak of him. Raven is the call that designates the coming of the day. And here I am actually sitting, it is daybreak and the sun is just rising. And this is the time you will hear the raven. The raven is saying, the four directions are coming, the four directions are coming. Because the night is controlled by magic and the day is governed by the four directions. And here I am just watching the sun come up, still sitting in the north though, and hearing Raven's call. Another part of the teachings for the North is that you are the bubble in the compass. That is what it is to be a you, a Y-O-U. So we've talked about the true self, who you are. So the word who means you're a person. And the word you speaks of being the bubble in the compass that is always aligned to the North. Although you are all parts of the medicine wheel, the you is the bubble in the compass. So we are almost bound to the north in our being right now, just in the way things are. Probably so that we can best assimilate and assimilate this new climate of love and not be asphyxiated by it. So the north is this place of quiet and clear. And definitely a lot of people are feeling panic come through right now, like asphyxiating, like, you know, when something comes up, people are practically feeling asphyxiated because it's this new way of breathing, this new energy that we are taking into our bodies. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Abyss, James Cameron's first movie, where they had to condition themselves to prepare to go that far down into the water. And so they had to learn how to breathe liquid. And there is that very scene where they put this kind of helmet on top of the person and it starts filling up with this pink liquid and it gets to the chin and it gets to the mouth and then it goes over their nose and their eyes get really big and you can see them panicking for a minute and then they just take that breath and the whole thing calms down. When the vision faster leaves the lodge and comes back to the world, it is said that we transverse the realms, bringing the seed of the vision from the universe, from the interior of the lodge, out into the world. And this seed must be cared for and nurtured, or it will shrink and die, able only to think, think, think. The universe is incredibly cramped, which is why it can fit inside of us and inside the bowl of the chanupa. We have much more freedom to move upon Mother Earth now, to move with her. I guess this is why so many souls wish to be here right now. We've reached the boom of popularity, not so much population, but popularity. It's a very popular place to be right now. We're in the heart of it, and we are at the height of novelty, as Terence McKenna has said. It would be easier to enact a ceremony of pomp and circumstance, as I call it, as Black Elk did, a parade of his vision, which was a way of cloaking the information. But this is the age of information, and knowledge and wisdom will be our guides. Wisdom comes of knowing, then letting go of all control over what you know. The only two things to consider are that you create your reality and that you are responsible for living in that reality. Just as the Mother Earth did with greed, so can we now do this with love. At the height of novelty, things settle downwards, including the fanatical thirst for God, for his dwelling place, too, is below. It is in each other. Heaven is on Mother Earth, and love is our home. By the end of my time in the north, I feel so full. I am ready to pop this seed out into the world, but I've only been here for 2 days. I have another 2 days to go. I smoke the chanupa to give thanks to the south, as I did clumsily to the west. But here in the south, the white smoke of the chanupa is abundant. And I am able to go around the lodge and bless every prayer tie that was left here by those who sweat with me on the first day, the people who would assist me through this fast, the ones who came every 2 hours to check on the fire and to bring in the grandfathers and to sing to me, to give me strength. And I am so grateful. It would appear that I am making the sacrifice, sitting in this lodge with no food, very little water, for 4 days, 4 nights, and 5 days. It looks like I am the one who is doing the work. And indeed I am, but it is not without my helpers. They are sacrificing their lives as well. They are giving up their time and their energy to come and support this fast. And so we do this together. We make this vision fast, not as just the one sitting in the lodge, but all those who are praying and all those who are sacrificing a small part of their lives to bring the sacred into our world.